Hello, and welcome to I'm Sick Not Crazy, the podcast that helps you to take control of your own health and healing. My name is Jennifer James, and I'm a licensed and practicing psychotherapist here to talk about becoming your healthiest self, both physically and psychologically. As a licensed psychotherapist, I encourage you to seek professional mental health treatment for any issues that you may be struggling with. If you think that mental health care is something that doesn't fit into your lifestyle, there is an option available that works on your schedule. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, a mental health care company that offers four ways to get in touch with a licensed counselor: video sessions, phone calls, chat, and messaging. BetterHelp is available worldwide. You can access your BetterHelp therapist from every country, and there are counselors who speak a variety of languages. Best of all, BetterHelp offers you the ability to message your counselors day or night and get replies within 24 to 48 hours, and often within just hours or the same day. To get started, please go to my personal link at betterhelp.com/sicknotcrazy, and BetterHelp will get you started on your healthcare journey. Hello, and welcome back to I'm Sick Not Crazy with Jennifer James, marriage and family therapist. Good to talk with you again. Today, I want to talk about embracing struggle. One of my all-time favorite movies is The Princess Bride. It's full of excellent quotes, incredible satire, and wonderful acting. In the past, I've had a few Princess Bride quoting duels with friends that eventually dissolved into giggles to the point of tears. Recently, I followed Cary Elwes, who plays Wesley, the Dread Pirate Roberts in the movie, on Twitter, and he has been posting some of his best lines from Princess Bride. Yesterday's was, "Life is pain, Highness. Anyone who says differently is selling something." After a chuckle where I remembered the scene from the movie where Wesley performs this witticism, I started thinking about struggle. Often it seems that people are living life to minimize struggle and maximize pleasure. Advertising campaigns center around presenting a problem that people might identify with and then showing how their product can solve it. Overweight? Well, try this pill. Dirty floor? Well, try this cleaning product. Frizzy hair? Buy this hair product and your problem is solved. When hard times hit, as they definitely have in 2020, people tend to look forward to a time when the struggle ends and life goes back to being easier. When there is illness, people look for cures. When relationships get rocky, people look for ways to smooth them out. Clearly, avoiding struggle is part of human nature. Often, I hear parents saying that they don't want their children to struggle the way that they did, and that they do their utmost to make life as easy as possible for their children. While I understand the instinct to protect and to seek ease, I wonder about the wisdom of this philosophy. Having had my share of hard times, I can tell you that struggle has led to the most growth in my life, the most self-reflection, the most fruitful changes. An abusive marriage and ugly divorce led to my going back to school and becoming a psychotherapist. A terrible illness led to my journey into authorship, blogging, and podcasting. A painful breakup led to intense spiritual growth and a desire to invest in learning about music and another language. When the fires of struggle show up, if we can embrace them instead of fight, they can forge us from a raw metal into a weapon of great strength and beauty. On the other hand, we've all encountered people who are the product of too much ease and too little struggle. We joke that they were born with a silver spoon in their mouths. These people tend to be arrogant in their own ignorance of what it is to do hard work, what it is to truly struggle. Often they seem to look down on people who don't have it as easy as they do, and seem to think it's some kind of moral failing on their part that the world is harder on them. We call these people who haven't struggled things like entitled, immature, and green. Deep down, we know that people need to struggle to become fully formed human beings. But we still do our best to dodge it at every turn and to shield our children from it. We look at celebrities and wealthy people who we imagine live a life of ease, although this is not actually true, and we think how wonderful it would be to live those lives.
leading to even more discontent with the struggles of everyday living. I would like to advocate for a change in attitude. Instead of looking down on people who are struggling and envying those who have a vapid and overly easy existence, I suggest that we embrace struggle as the transformational process that it is. I suggest that instead of thinking, "Ah, poor thing, she or he is really struggling right now," instead we think, "That person is really in the forge of the fires of struggle. I wonder what the finished product will be." It's okay to be struggling. It's a part of life. If your kid is having a hard time with distance learning, it's okay. Working through that struggle helps your child to learn how to deal with adversity. Most of us are struggling in some way with the pandemic. Perhaps the struggle is isolation, or joblessness, or fear of infection. Maybe it's all of these together, and yes, it is hard. But instead of denying or fighting the reality of your circumstances, I suggest that you ask yourself, what are the lessons that I could learn from this time in my life? Now, I'm not advocating for a pull yourself up by the bootstraps mentality. That's one of my top 10 most hated phrases. What are bootstraps anyway? And how am I supposed to pull myself up with them? No. Instead, treat yourself and others with compassion. Support the people in your life as they support you in return. We need each other, and there is no shame in that. I'm saying that struggle is not something to hide from or be ashamed of. It's not something to apologize for. Each person's individual struggle can be like a personal hero's journey. Every hero starts out naive and untested and then is strengthened by adversity. Nobody is born heroic. I think it would be appropriate to end with a quote that was brought to my attention by Brené Brown in her book Daring Greatly. I think it captures this idea of embracing the formative quality of struggle perfectly. It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error or shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Theodore Roosevelt. Thank you so much for listening. It's been lovely speaking with you today, and I look forward to talking with you again next week. Take care. Bye. Thank you for listening to this week's I'm Sick Not Crazy podcast with Jennifer James, marriage and family therapist. Please remember that this podcast is educational in nature, and it's not meant to substitute for medical or psychological advice. To learn more about my work or to contact me, please visit my website at jenniferjames-author.com. And while you're there, please visit and follow my blog. Thanks so much for listening, and remember that you can take control of your own health.